the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week, as Raw 1251 celebrates 50 years of broadcasting from the University of Warwick, we'll talk to Ed Farrer, who's put together a pop-up station which includes some of the famous names to have presented on the station in the past. And we'll also hear from one of the current station managers there, Sian Bolton, who'll tell us about her experiences of running a student radio station during the pandemic.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
Mikasa. Before all that, Radio Today's founder and editor Roy Martin is here. How is your week going, Mr. Roy?
My week is just fine, thank you. A lot better than last week because we had a few responses, didn't we, to say, are you guys all right?
Yeah, we're fine. We're all right.
You sound like you had a bit of a bad week. But no, all good. Are you okay?
Yeah, lots of exciting things going on. I'm getting a new car this week as well, which is goodbye to Skoda after 15 years of having Skodas. I'm going French and getting a Peugeot. It's all to save me some money. That means I have to pay out less every month. But I think I will be very sad to lose my Skoda VW Group radio. I've enjoyed having the big touchscreen with the nice big logos and stuff. I think the Peugeot one's all right, but it's probably not as nice.
I'm glad you brought the conversation straight back to radio when you started talking about real life stuff there for a second. We can't be having that on this podcast. So what radio's in your new car?
It's a touchscreen thing. It's a modern jobby with everything and CarPlay and all the fancy things and DAB and everything. But I don't think the UI is going to be as nice as this one I've had in the Skoda for the last few years. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll report back next week. I'll tell you how I get on with it.
That's interesting. I was going to say that most cars have DAB as standard now and CarPlay or some way to connect to your phone. So you've got this similar system. You can still use Waze on your big screen and all the important stuff.
Yeah, can do all that. Yeah. Can do all that, I think. Well, I'll find out when I get it and I'll report back next week. But but yeah, I think the way that the logos display for radio stations and stuff on my Skoda has been very nice. If anybody's got a Skoda they've had for the last kind of 3 or 4 years, I really like the radios in them. It's a sad thing I'm losing about my car.
But your new car will have radio logos in, surely?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure whether it will or not. This is an unknown quantity as we record this, but I will report back. I'll probably post some pictures of the radio on Twitter.
I should look forward to it. And I believe you've got a new car registration plate to go with your new car.
Thank you for that. So that was my birthday gift from you. You're such a kind gentleman.
You're very welcome. It's all tax deductible.
Is it?
All good. Probably.
I don't think it is it?
It's your company car, isn't it?
Let's move on.
Let's talk about it off the record.
Philip Schofield has a new book out, and it sounds like there's lots of geeky radio things in it.
It does, and he was on with Chris Moyles on Monday morning, and I really enjoyed it. It was such a good chat, all about radio, of course. I'm not sure regular listeners would have appreciated it, but anybody who listens to Miles know that he's going to go off on a rant about radio at some point, at least once a week. So I'm sure they enjoyed it as well. It was on Facebook Live, wasn't it? So if you want to listen back to that. In fact, we did a story on it, in fact. It was on Radio Today, embedded into that. And that turned into a discussion about a Radio 1 roadshow as well, which you tweeted Philip Schofield about.
Yeah, he's not replied. Miserable
kid. Just as well, because people replying to you is not a good thing these days.
I enjoyed Philip talking about the Radio 1 Roadshow and going as a kid to watch it in Newquay, because he's from Newquay. I grew up in Newquay, and going to watch the Radio 1 Roadshow and then talking about actually getting to host it when he was a Radio 1 DJ. And I saw him on the roadshow stage with Steve Wright in summer 1988 when I was on holiday in Cornwall, and we went to the roadshow. It's the most exciting thing of my life when I was seven to get to go to the Radio 1 roadshow, and I've got lots of pictures of it. So I found a picture with Steve Wright and Philip Schofield. You can just about make them out on the stage behind all the crowds, and I've found the audio as well of Philip coming on stage. So it's worth having a listen to on my Twitter. It's fun, that, and I just loved his story about, you know, going there to watch the Radio 1 Roadshow in the 70s when he was growing up, and then actually getting to host it on the same stage, on the same location. Amazing.
It is amazing. I thought I only ever had one Radio 1 Roadshow story, and that is that I saw a bit of one once in Blackpool. I thought that was my only story, but I was speaking to my mum and dad during lockdown on one of our many FaceTime calls, and apparently we were on holiday in Tenby in Wales at some point. It must have been in the 80s or 90s. and the Radio 1 Roadshow was in town on a particular day, but my parents happened to have some discount ferry vouchers to have a day trip to Ireland from Tenby. No. So we didn't go to the Radio 1 Roadshow when it was in Tenby. We went on a boat for a few hours, a couple of hours in Ireland, and then came back and it was all done. So I could have had a day out at the Radio 1 Roadshow in Tenby as a kid, but I didn't.
Maybe you listened to some Irish radio or something instead, something geeky like that in the car.
Maybe, but yeah, I wish I'd have spent a day at a Radio 1 Roadshow. It sounds like an amazing thing.
It was great. It was great fun. Anyway. If you ignore the Bermuda shorts I'm wearing in the 80s, but I've got this picture of me on Twitter as well, stood by the Radio 1 goodie mobile around the back as well. And there's a load of boxes there piled up. So I should have really nicked a box full of merch. It would have might have been worth something these days.
Smiley Miley would have had a thing to say about that.
True. Right. On to some radio, other radio news from this week. What's going on in Bristol, Roy? This is Ofcom asking whether it's okay to change Sam FM into Hits Radio.
Yeah, so in the big switchover of summer 2020, we had a lot of stations going to Greatest Hits and some going to Hits Radio. Bristol couldn't be included in this because it was quite a new licence. And that old rule of not changing things in a major way for 2 years apparently still exists. So this is why this is coming up now. Sam FM, of course, is owned by Bauer. And they plan to turn it into Hits Radio. So they need a big format change because it's currently a rock station, for want of a better word, and they want to turn it into a hit station. So they need a big consultation and approval, which it's not automatically guaranteed because they refused XS in Manchester, didn't they?
Talking
about Ofcom, of course.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to say this is, you know, a done deal. They could refuse it.
There's a big campaign from listeners, though, about XS in Manchester and the kind of the rock fans, which I don't get the impression there is with Sam FM in Bristol.
Well, it hasn't got many listeners, so, yeah, you never know. And to put out a hits radio station is a little bit different to Heart and a little bit different to Capital. So it's and whatever else is there, and Great Hits and all the regionals, Kiss. So it might sit nicely in the middle between Heart and Capital, so maybe Ofcom will say, yes, it will still broaden listener choice. We'll have to wait and find out, but if that gets approved, then it'll be the first time Bauer launches a hits radio station of their own outside Manchester.
Interesting. And talking of Bauer changes, you were teased us a little bit on last week's podcast with some Ipswich news. We've now got that Ipswich news. It's not the sale of Ipswich 102 to Bauer, but it is Greatest Hits arriving on it as part of a brand license agreement.
Yeah, so this is one of the other stations that kind of got away in the big cull. Ipswich 102 stayed as it was because it's only part owned by Bauer. I think they have 40%. The other people that own it haven't sold it. But they have agreed a deal to take Greatest Hits Radio on there, which kind of tidies things up a little bit. And they're getting away with having the current regional show for the East, for Greatest Hits Radio. And me and you spent, what, about 5 hours trying to work this out, didn't we, when the story came last week. And we presume that the regional show, if that gets provided by Ipswich 102 instead of by Bauer, then that means it's still technically legal according to Ofcom regulations. I don't know a better way to explain that, but if that is the case, that's what they've done.
Yeah, so where there is a brand license agreement and there's a third party owner of a brand by one of the big groups, and this happens with Communicore as well, the license holder, the owner of the license, has to prove that they are in control of their license. And one of the ways they do that is by having a show. So it happens with the Communicore stations where they provide a show and Global do the other 21 hours a day. So in this case, Ipswich 102 Limited needs to provide a show on 102 FM in Ipswich, and we understand that they'll provide the drive time show, and then Bauer will buy that drive time show off them and put that out on its stations in the East. It will obviously be in control of its stations it owns in the East because it's supplying the content for the other 21 hours a day.
Which is interesting, because if this is allowed, and it must be for it to be happening, then there are situations like this in other parts of the countries where stations could do this kind of deal and not have duplicate programme. So like in the South Coast, you've got two drive time shows on two GHR stations provided by different people because that's the rules. So I'm not saying to sack one of them and get on with it, but technically that could happen there. And there's other companies doing the same thing, like Global and Communico. There's other areas where this could happen. So it's just a loophole, which we think has been revealed recently, because if this was always possible, then surely people wouldn't have set it up the way it is.
And the other interesting thing to watch, with Ipswich 102 taking a brand license agreement to put Greatest Hits Radio on, will be any other stations around the country where that could now happen as well. One of the obvious ones might be in the northeast, where Nation owns Sun FM. That's not just Sunderland anymore, it's Durham and Darlington and Northallerton as well. So they could perhaps put Greatest Hits Radio on FM there in the northeast, where it isn't at the moment, and have a brand license agreement with Bauer to do that.
And again, they could do a similar deal by having one regional show provided by Nation instead of the other way around, just to get around the rules on that out. But it's very complicated.
Yeah.
And if you have no idea what we're talking about, if you've no idea what we're talking about, don't worry, we'll just move on.
The casual listeners are going, what is this about? Let's get slightly more geeky before we move on and talk about transmitters in Wales, where Global have turned off some of their medium wave smooth transmitters. Is that right? Does anybody care about medium wave transmitters being turned off anymore?
I don't think, well, maybe they do in Wales, because FM is a bit more patchy. But yeah, two of the frequencies that used to be Red Dragon and Touch and Gold and now smooth, one of the sites is being redeveloped, and Global's taking the opportunity, it looks like, to just turn them off and give the license back and save a few quid in the process. Not the first time, and certainly not the last.
More DAB multiplex applications are all being revealed now, so obviously the groups are working on these. I think the deadline is next month, isn't it, to Ofcom for the first wave of small-scale DAB multiplexes. And we've heard, I think, even in just the last week, about applications for Cardiff and Salisbury and South Birmingham and Bradford and other places. So the groups that are working on these are kind of announcing them partly through Radio Today so that they can say, hey, have you got a station you might want to put onto our multiplex?
Exactly. And that's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's only half a dozen of the 25 areas that we know about. So it's going to be really exciting, I think. So there's going to be 25 areas where people are applying for a multiplex, and there's probably going to be at least two for each one. So that's 50 applications to sift through and to report on. And there's going to be people applying for these that we have never even heard. You know, non-radio companies are going to be applying for these. So I think it's going to be an exciting time. This is the next big thing in radio, isn't it? Multiplexes.
It is. Yeah,
little multiplexes.
And, you know, dozens and dozens of new local radio stations in some of these areas as well. So it's going to be interesting to watch. Yeah, there will be probably some that are syndicated on lots of multiplexes, you know, the kind of quasi-national stations who want to get a patchwork coverage of the UK. So, you know, it could be a cost-effective way to do that. As you say, it's an interesting time in radio. And touch on BBC local radio as well this week. Yeah, we had a story on Radio Today about some management changes, and 8 managing editors at BBC local radio stations are going to be leaving as a result of this. These are quite major changes, really, for local radio's network.
Yeah, this is really big news, actually. A lot of managers, editors of radio stations leaving that have been there a long time. And the radio stations are kind of, you know, shaped around these people, like John Clayton at Radio Lancashire and Sarah Miller at Radio Solent, you know, and all of them, they've all been there a long time. So they've obviously got a good deal on their redundancy, and they're off. They're off to sit in the sun for a few years and then come back and see what's going on. But yeah, big changes for BBC local radio. The interesting comment from them when we asked them for a story, because I don't think this has been reported anywhere else so far, nobody's picked up on it, but they said that the listeners won't notice any difference in these 8 bosses leaving. So you can imagine the comments that came back on that on the Facebook.
Ouch. Not good. We've had some more announcements this week about the Radio Academy Festival, including Dee Ford from Bauer, who's going to be one of the keynote speakers. This is all happening next month, of course, online this year over the course of a week. You can get your tickets now, £25 for Radio Academy members. And we're going to be hearing a bit more about this year's Radio Academy Festival and what you can expect on next week's Radio Today programme.
Assuming we have one. Stuart, assuming we have one.
We will do. We will. We'll be here next week. Don't worry. We'll be here next week.
If you're not driving around Lockdown Valley with your new Peugeot, whatever it is.
Yes, I'll report back next week on how my new radio is, but thank you for that. And we'll talk to you next week, I guess, Roy.
Fabulous. Remind me again who's coming up next.
We have got a couple of fabulous guests, people who've never been on this podcast before, and we've not done anything on student radio for a long time either. So Ed Farrer and Sean Bolton coming up, talking about Raw 1251, the university radio station in Warwick.
Fantastic.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. This is the Radio Today programme, and we're going to focus on student radio a bit this week because it's a special 50th birthday celebration for student radio in Warwick. It began life as University Radio Warwick in 1970. It's now at the award-winning Raw 1251. We can speak to Ed Farrar, who's a former student and a former member of the exec team at Raw and was the programme director, and also Sean Bolton, who's one of the current station managers who took over just before the lockdown started. Hi guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
So let's talk about this celebration first. 50 years for any radio station is a long time, and Ed, you've been putting together something a little bit special to recognise this.
Yeah, I mean, 50 years, it's just, I know we're you know, me and Sean are in our early 20s, so 50 years just seems massive to us. It really does, but it's, you know, and it's I think, we're the second oldest student radio station in the country. I think URY, which is York, is the oldest, but you know, that's kind of irrelevant. We ignore that. But yeah, we did research on this. We went through all the student newspapers. We believe the official birthday was on the 12th of October 1970, and it was founded by Ian Black and a guy called Dave Davis. Dave, a much more trendy name than the David Davis he became, who was many. I'm not very good at politics, but he was the Brexit secretary. I think he was Home Secretary at some point. He was the founder of the station in 1970, started off in a little hut near Roots D Block, which is the least, well, it's the dirtiest halls on campus, and it still is to this day. It's gone on, you know, gone on from that. So, you know, we've had some huge names come through, and Raw's developed the likes of Timmy Mallets, Stephen Merchant, who wrote The Office for Ricky Gervais, Leona Grahams, obviously on Absolute Radio, and so many names. We really wanted to celebrate that, celebrate the people who come through the station, and not just the, you know, the big names, but, you know, people who've just gone through Raw, enjoyed their time, and celebrate what the station has done over the last 50 years. So, once I left the committee, I decided I'd do this because I need to fill my time after exams. And we started thinking about doing podcasts and celebrating the station's history, but we thought it'd be much more fun to actually bring presenters back to do shows. So we're launching a 50-hour pop-up station called Retro Raw. It's got shows kind of documenting the station's history. We've got some alumni coming back to recreate their own shows. And then just some special programs celebrating the amazing people that have come through the station. So, yeah, we're really, really excited about it. And I think we've got a nice balance of programming from all the years. We've got presenters who are presenting on the station now and a guy who was on the very first schedule in 1970. So, wow. You know, it's super exciting. And we're really proud to kind of show off what Raw has been like, because it's such a special place.
And we'll come on to what the station's like shortly, but I suppose, Sean, you guys are the future of radio and the future of the country. So is it important for you to want to look back at what the history of the radio station is?
Yeah, definitely. I think for us, one of the biggest things that this project has shown us is how much Raw means to so many people in all of its forms, whether it's W963, loads of other names that it's gone through over its time, and how much that's defined people's lives, even 50 years on, this little student radio station. And I think it makes us really proud, and it pushes us to want to, especially in the current time, it's been really tricky trying to keep a station up at the moment. It's really pushed us, this project, to remember why we're doing it and how many amazing people have come through our station doors.
I was going to say the people who've gone on to work in the industry, and Ed mentioned a few of them, but and there are many more as well who'll probably listen to this podcast. But I suppose it provides some kind of inspiration for the students working there at the moment to know, actually, I could get a really successful career out of this.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think Roar is one of those places. I think what we pride ourselves on is the allowance for creativity. So what I love so much about Roar is it's kind of a place where you can go and try things. And there's been some pretty terrible programming that has gone on, but I think that's formed people into brilliant presenters and producers and people all over the industry. And it just gives people a place to try new things out and fail. It gives people a space to fail and not worry about things. Which means that they can go on to produce some really great things as well. We're not all bad.
Oh, no, it's fine. We've all been there. For me, it wasn't student radio. It was hospital radio and kind of small commercial radio. But you need a place to fail, as you say. I suppose the interesting thing about it is having some of these people on again who were on first time round, you know, being nostalgic about it, Ed. And if you've been working, putting these programs together, I guess for a lot of people, it's a special thing to have been involved in student radio and that be the place that started their career.
100%, yeah. And I mean, whether we've been talking to so many people as we've been interviewing as many alumni as we can as well, but you know, just from emailing these people, calling them, chatting to them about their time at Roar, they're so passionate about it, they're so passionate about the programs that they did, and having that back is so exciting. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff from the 80s, 90s, noughties, whatever. There's so many special, you know, programs, and people love to reminisce and they love to bring it back. And you know, Sean mentioned actually it's a really creative place, a place to fail. We interviewed Stephen Merchant for this for the show we're doing with him, where we're basically looking back at his show called The Steve Show that he did in the 90s. It's kind of like a highlights program going through what he did and what were his comedy origins. And I think what I really got from listening to that interview and listening to the show and just hearing from Stephen is that he accepts that maybe some of it wasn't the best comedy ever produced, but there's some gold in there. There is some absolute gold. But I think what it gave him and it gave others is an opportunity to try these things, do amazing things. And he got his job at XFM with Ricky Gervais because he had tapes from W963. And, you know, that went on to producing The Office, which is, you know, arguably one of the greatest comedy programs ever written. We won't take full credit for that, but it's a space to be creative, and people like Stephen, and then all sorts of presenters like Adam English, who's the Union Jack Radio Breakfast presenter, who's also doing a show and voices the Steve Show program as the narrator. He was super inspired by Steve's stuff, and then did his own stuff and was super creative, and then got his job doing Union Jack Breakfast. So, yeah, it's a special place, and hearing all of these shows again has been really special for all of us, and we can't wait to share it with everybody.
And the good thing about student radio, and there are so many people in the industry who came through student radio, not only as presenters but as programmers or managers, and Paul Sylvester, another one from Roar, who was on this podcast last week, and I know he's part of your Retro Roar program lineup as well. But Sian, you're, as a station manager, it gives you lots of other skills, not just about being on the radio but about managing a team and running a project as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like we have quite a big team for a student radio or a student society. There's over 20 of us that are directly running the station, plus people that help out as deputy heads of departments and everything. It's a really massive team. And it's so inspiring because everyone works so hard constantly, especially having to run it all online as we have been for so long. But yeah, it's definitely given me a lot of scenarios for job interviews, I'll say that much. A lot of working under pressure and dealing with difficult situations like a pandemic.
There's a pandemic. Oh, we didn't even realise. So tell us about this year. You took over as one of the station managers in March. What were kind of the immediate things you had to start doing when you took over this job?
Yeah, so we almost blindly took over. I don't think we even thought about any of this situation when we took over. We took over on March 7th, and I think things really took off in the first few weeks. So we like to say whenever a new team takes over, our desk, we lovingly call her Sue, she died on the first day of the job. just kind of a baptism of fire, I think Ed described it when I was having a breakdown about it at the time. And, you know, she's kept it going for a good few months now, which is impressive. Hopefully she'll start to like us soon. But yeah, we took over, broke up for Easter on the last day of uni. I was sitting in the Raw office. We got an email from the uni telling us exams were going to be online. And we all thought, well, we'll have to come back anyway. Like, we'll just come back and do the exams in our house. And then we quickly realised that wasn't going to happen. And we just left the office as it was. There's probably some weird smells going on in there over the summer. So yeah, lots of people left things like pots and pans, air beds, who have now graduated, that they have now given to Raw. I don't know what we'll do with them. Yeah, so we had to move completely online in term three. We didn't want to stop. So that was a bit of a transition. Essentially, everything broke. So we got to learn how to use a lot of social media, a lot of live streaming on Facebook, which has been really fun, and just keeping it going. And I think one of the things as station manager I was so worried about with getting new people, getting freshers in this time, because obviously we can't have them in person for the first few weeks. So we thought, like, there's no real draw, but we've had loads of interest, which is really encouraging. And I think this Raw at 50 is a brilliant place to start for us. So we're still not broadcasting in the studio yet. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll see. Every time I think something's going to happen, it doesn't. But hopefully we'll see. And that would be really exciting. But I think this is such a great moment to kick things back off again and hopefully welcome everyone back into the studio and back into the office for the first time in ages.
Yeah, and of course it's not just having a go at being a radio station and playing at radio. You've got an audience there who are students, and at the moment they probably need you more than anything for that kind of communication and that kind of company. So it's really important that you still exist and you carry on right through this. And I suppose this applies to student radio everywhere across the country.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think one of the things I'm so proud of is our on-air departments have really taken into their own in this situation. Our news department has done an excellent job at really focusing on university policy towards coronavirus and towards students, and every change that happened in the uni, they're straight there doing a show explaining it all. So I'm really proud of that. Our sport department managed to keep up a weekly show during lockdown about sport, which was very questionable, but they managed to do it. I'm really proud of how quickly everyone's adapted to things. And we've really grown in our audience over this whole thing, surprisingly. I think we've been able to really recalculate what we're doing at the station and really refocus on what our audience wants and would like from us. And we've now got listeners that have come from loads of different countries over lockdown. That's the benefit of social media. We can see where people are coming from. So we've really developed a kind of international audience as well, which is so exciting.
I remember when I was on the committee, the big issues that we were dealing with was one time the door fell off because someone had tried to soundproof the studio with sand. And the issues that we're dealing with are so minor compared to what station managers across the country are doing right now. And the fact that Raw's actually grown, it's still doing things, it's been so innovative, is such a testament to Sean and Lucy's work as station managers. And I think there are so many, it's going to be the same with stations all over the country. There's people who love these societies, love these stations, have taken over and are still doing amazing things. So it's a full testament to how hard Sean and Lucy have worked, how hard their committee have worked, and they've been brilliant. And I think that's one thing I've been talking to all these alumni, and I think they're quite proud with how the station's doing, and that even now in this awful time, Raw is still persevering, and that a lot of that is down to the hard work that these guys are doing.
Yeah, so much hard work. And the thing I've always wondered about people running student radio stations, because I've been to the Student Radio Awards and I see the fantastic quality and the conference, the fantastic quality going on in student radio. How do you manage to do all this and do your degree as well? Because I don't think I could have managed that, or do your master's as you're doing, Shania. Do you find time to actually do some work as well as running a radio station?
It's questionable. I think summer helped. I think one thing I'm trying to work on is not dropping everything immediately as soon as someone's having a crisis. and trying to space myself away from it a tiny bit, I can have a tendency to want to control everything all the time. But definitely, like, I think we have this running joke in Raw that a lot of people that do Raw don't care about their degrees. I definitely care about my degree. I'm paying enough for it. It's very crazy. And I think a lot of the time, a lot of people forget that we're doing this for free and on top of our studies. I love it. It's what I love to do. So it doesn't really feel like a chore at all. And I find it, well, when we're not having a crisis or a tech issue, like our CTA, which is all of our very expensive equipment, the aircon broke over the summer, which was lovely. And we thought everything was going to burn to the ground, which wouldn't have surprised me given the scenario. We were waiting for a fire. That's the only thing I could think of that could have happened that would have surprised me. Even when those kind of things happen, it's just remembering what we're doing it for. And yeah, it's great. It's everything I want in life is Raw right now. So yeah, it's the best part about my university experience.
Super. And Ed, I guess anybody who's got an interest in Raw who went there will be able to listen to all this schedule that you've put together for next week as well.
Yeah, so I mean, as long as everything doesn't crash and die, which I think with Raw is kind of a 50-50 coin flip, it's going to be all broadcasting on our website, radio.war.ac.uk. And if you are, for some reason, within the area, you can pick us up on 12:51 a.m, then you can listen there too. I have no idea how anyone does. I think I picked it up once. It's awful. But it's on the website. All of the shows are going to be archived on a special Mixcloud page. So even if you miss a show, all of it will be on there after broadcast. There's a nice archive, which I think will be a good kind of time capsule for people looking back in a few years.
Absolutely. Well, good luck with that, and good luck, Sian, with the continued work to put out a radio station during all these things that are going on. And thank you both for talking to us.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Ah, what lovely people. That was Sian Bolton and Ed Farrer talking about Raw 1251 at the University of Warwick. Just before we go this week, a reminder about Clean Feed. If you are running a student radio station, it's a great way to connect with guests and presenters and get them on air in fairly decent quality. It's great for OBs as well, interviews, co-hosting from different places to normal. Clean Feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and connect in live, decent quality audio just using your browser. You can even record within the browser as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or hosting your show. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Join us next week for another edition of the Radio Today programme. We'll be talking about the Radio Academy Festival 2020.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.